Dr. Fran Olson with NDSU Agribusiness and Applied Economics, joins me now on the program. Dr. Olson, how are you?
I am doing very well. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good, actually. Thank you for asking. I had a slight vacation, so this is my first day back, so the battery's charged. I'm ready to get after it.
All right. You're all pumped up, ready to go.
I'm pumped up, except for when I find headlines that read, U.S. farmers are exacerbated by the latest trade war moves. So, you know what? Things continue to escalate, it seems, Dr. Olson, where we've had a lot of talk of, well, yep, things are moving smoothly. All right, guys, we're meeting. Don't worry. And then the actions, quite frankly, speak a lot louder than the tweets, than the press releases. And now we're seeing that the latest being that President Trump recently announcing 10% tariffs on $300 billion in Chinese goods. And then in response, China allowed the yuan to weaken. But I think more damning is they're suspending the purchase of U.S. agricultural products. Dr. Olson, I've been saying throughout the day here, to me, this seems like one of those worst-case scenarios.
Yeah, it's now official confirmation of some of the strategy they've been put in place since some of the trade negotiations and the effect the trade war started a while ago. You know, one of the few ways that the Chinese can retaliate against the U.S. and really have a very direct impact is on agriculture, because that's one of the major imports that they have. And they certainly slowed down their purchases earlier on, but now it's official. They're just not going to buy anything from us until we come to some kind of resolution and we start moving forward again.
Well, and, you know, like I was kind of alluding to, it doesn't seem that we're on that track. I mean, we've heard that we were, but... Yeah, and I'm seeing reports, and I know I'm going to get messages about this. I'm not trying to pull you into politics, but I'm reading here in the Washington Post that you have aides saying that the president is increasingly relying on himself and not his economic advisors in this trade war. So have you heard, is there a plan, or is it just, you know what, we're going tit for tat until somebody gives?
Well, okay, the challenge is it depends upon who you listen to and kind of what smoke signals are you reading throughout this? So let me take a half a step back and put a couple things into context. So up until recently, we were making some progress, and that progress seemed to be moving forward very, you know, fairly smoothly. And at one point, both the U.S. and Chinese negotiators had said that we were about 90% there. There was a couple of really big sticky points that had to be figured out, but we were making progress and we were almost there. And then all of a sudden we took this great leap backwards. And I, in reading some of the press reports, in particular out of some of the Chinese news services, it sounds as though what happened was in the Chinese negotiators took some of the terms back to other people within the Chinese government to take a look at and say, well, here's the current structure, here's what we've agreed to, what do you think? And the answer from some of the hardliners was, you know, heck no, this ain't going to happen. And so that all of a sudden changed the politics, both in China as well as within around the negotiating table, and saying, wait a minute, we're not going to have enough support in our system to be able to make the changes that are required. Because we were asking for some changes in their patent laws and in the legal structure within their country to have better protections on intellectual property. So when they took that big step back and all of a sudden we weren't negotiating for a while, some of the key negotiating team on the Chinese side, the members of that team changed. And now we have some much more hardline, experienced trade negotiators on the Chinese side of the table that are coming to these negotiations with a very different perspective and a different set of outlook than the negotiators that were there before. And so I think after the trade team in the U.S. came back to D.C. and President Trump got briefed on it, they said, boy, this is a very different situation than we thought we were going to be stepping into. And so to try and add some pressure, to try and put some incentive into play to make sure that things keep moving forward, you know, President Trump came in and said, all right, we're going to keep the pressure on. I've threatened to do this before. I'm going to follow through on my obligations. Well, now the Chinese, because they have taken a very different tone in this negotiations, are coming back and saying, well, all right, we can play that game too. And that's not a good thing long term, because it means that this will likely be drug out much further.
Well, and Dr. Fran Olson, our guest at NDSU Agribusiness and Applied Economics, our guest, that's, you know, we all were hoping, well, first off, I think, to avoid the escalation in the first place. No, but with the acknowledgement, yep, that there is some unfair trade practices. But now it has gone on for over a year. And as you just mentioned, now with this latest, it doesn't seem like there is a deadline in sight. And now we have the second round of the MFP going back. Yeah. And now even earlier today, the president saying, look, I'll do it again next year if I have to. That's a red flag to me saying, look, this thing's going to be prolonged. And I guess if you could look into your crystal ball with all the work, the years of work that farm groups have done, do they ever have a chance to get it back?
Boy, it's going to take a lot of work now, and I want to be a bit careful, because when we think about, and again, I'm going to narrow to agricultural trade now, specifically ag, and not get into all this other stuff. But if we look at agriculture specifically, there can be win-win trade, and I do think there are contingents or groups within China that would like to see stronger trade relationships in agriculture between the U.S. and China. But there's going to be also those that are very opposed to that. And so the real question that I think comes down to, the majority of the purchases that China has made from the U.S. have been government-owned entities. So these are businesses that are primarily owned by the Chinese government. Now, there are private companies that are buying from the U.S. as well. Again, they have to follow the regulations that are in China and the rules, but they're private companies. So in my discussions with some of the U.S. ag companies that sell into China, they're saying the relations with these private smaller companies is still strong. Mm. And so we might be able to rebuild those bridges a bit more quickly, but the bridges for those state-owned entities, which are the ones that buy the big quantities, the large cargo loads of U.S. ag products, that's going to be a much tougher fight.
Very interesting there. There's a glimmer of hope there, but yeah, as you say, the overall picture still seems rather bleak. And Dr. Olson, you can tell me if this is outside of the realm, but just, I'm going to throw this out there. You can say, no, I'm not, I don't want to go down that. But if you could say, look, there's one thing that could or should be brought from the United States side to move this thing along. Is there anything that could just overnight, okay, this is what we're able to do to help resolve this quicker, or is it just, it's beyond that point? And now when you say that we have different individuals on the Chinese side, that we're kind of past the point of no return when it comes to something quickly being resolved?
So one of the things, and again, the core issues really revolve around intellectual property, which is, you know, the patents and trademarks and that, and then some of the financial trades, some of the financial transactions, banking and insurance regulations. And so agriculture has never been the real sticky point. You know, the agricultural trade provisions, or the sections that we have in that, those chapters of this agreement, have never been the sticky point. We'd like to sell them more things, and I think they would like to buy more things because it solves some problems, some agricultural products, because it solves problems for them. So the real question then is, how hard is the U.S. going to push for these other core issues that the U.S. is saying these are really important to us? Because those are also the ones that on the Chinese side that they're pushing back on and saying, no, we're not going to let the U.S. Government dictate how we're going to regulate our country and how we're going to change our laws. And so I'm afraid, based on what I see right now, that there's some real fundamental divide on the two viewpoints. And unless we're able to make some concessions and give something up, boy, I don't see things moving quickly.
Well, Dr. Olson, I was afraid that was going to be the answer, but I think you and I are certainly on the same page, and I'm just an observer, and you are much more knowledgeable. But I always appreciate you taking time and just laying it out there as you see it.
Well, I'm very happy to visit with you, and hopefully we can do this again.
Very good. Well, I got your number. We will. have a good afternoon, Doctor.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Dr. Fran Olson, NDSU, Agribusiness and Applied Economics.